Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the Diener Show. Presented by OPC Pest Services on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
All right, we are back here, 93.9 The Ville, ESPN 680. We will, we'll hear from Kenny Payne today at 1:15. Is that what you said his news conference is?
I believe it's 1:15.
That'll be during the V Show. We'll also have the game tomorrow night, Louisville and Maryland. They are undefeated. I was just checking. They haven't really played anybody. They beat Miami pretty badly, but they really have not. They've yet to play anyone, of course.
Yeah. Miami's all right.
Yeah. They're better than Lenoir Ryan, I assume.
They are.
Probably.
They
probably
are,
so. But, yeah. So we'll have that for you, and then we'll have the Bellarmine-Kentucky game for you. Bellarmine's broadcast tomorrow night when they go to Rupp Arena. Lord knows where Bellarmine is right about now. They played at 7 o'clock last night at UCLA. They're probably transferring in an airport as we speak, would be my guess.
They could be all the way back, but it'd be tight.
I don't know. I don't share location with Doug Davenport, so I don't know where he is.
You don't share location with Scotty D?
Yeah, no. Yeah. The only time I've shared location with another man in my life was you on the way down to
Clemson,
which took me 7.5 hours, took you 6. I'm never allowed to drive to a road game again. That's the new policy.
You're bad at it.
I am not allowed. I can't even handle Lexington, where I lived for 10 years or 15 when you count college. Yellow lot. Yellow lot my ass. It doesn't exist. Does not exist. It's Atlantis.
It's not yellow when you see it. It's a gray parking lot.
Then it's really well named then.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they name what they name it Kentucky. I have no clue.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's a gray parking garage. Yeah. It's the yellow garage.
Okay. That doesn't exist. That's a lie.
It's very long and skinny.
Save that. That's why I didn't step on
that's
it.
That's what it is.
Yes, I didn't step.
It is.
That's why I didn't step on it. They're like, it's by the tennis courts. I'm like, I'm by the tennis courts. I don't see it. I know damn well where the tennis courts at Kentucky are. Played enough tennis over there.
It's on the opposite. It's on a different corner.
Yeah. I go to the website. It says go to Cooper Drive. I went to Cooper Drive. Oh, not that Cooper Drive. You want to go to the other. It's like when we tell people directions around Louisville. It's where the White Castle used to be. Well, if you're not from here, it doesn't do anybody any good. So, yeah. I know.
I'm not allowed
to drive to road games. Thank God for Coach Joe. I call him Coach Joe. Joe Schultz. He's Max's baseball coach. For going, I'm screaming and yelling. I'm turning around, going home. It sucks. I'm missing the pregame. I was in sight of Kroger.
So you found the good parking lot.
You were able to find the good parking lot. Ultimately, he texts me a blue lot VIP pass where you can basically damn near drive onto the field.
Yes.
He said,
you were able to find that.
He said, show them that and they will move heaven and earth to get you into that parking lot.
And you did.
And by God, he was right.
And so you were able to find your premium parking spot.
I should have just done that. I should have gone with him. We were going to drive when Max got sick, so it was just me. So I just thought, well, I'll get an early start. So I left 20 minutes ahead of him. And I'm still driving around. He's already been tailgating for 20 minutes by the time I talked to him.
Man.
Whatever. I am new policy, Diener, not allowed to drive to road games.
Yeah.
Period.
You're not allowed
to. End of sentence.
No.
Nothing to do with the Acura. Acura's a great ride. It's a great.
You're going to Uber to games?
You know what?
I'm going to take me to Clemson.
How much is an Uber to Clemson?
Uber to Clemson.
$3,000.
That'll be $900, sir.
Yeah, whatever. Can I fly there?
What kind of tip do you have to leave for that?
I'll just fly to Lexington next time and just Uber from the airport.
Allegiant. Louisville to Lexington. Remember that flight that Delta had? It was like Louisville to Cincinnati. Like, it was ridiculous.
Well, yeah, because it used to be a hub.
You know, like Louisville to Cincinnati, like, went up.
I'd do it.
Landed.
So we need to get some calls. We got to hear from the people. We can have all the text line we want. I want to hear emotion from people. I want to hear, you know, where people are on this team, on this staff, on the state of affairs.
You extend Satterfield. I mean, he's got 2 years left on his deal.
That's the question. It's that time. You know, you've got to do something there. Do you extend him, but not really up the buyout to give yourself flexibility? You can certainly write that in.
Yeah, you can make the contract whatever you want.
You can make
to.
It 5 years and keep the buyout the same it is now. So you can, you know, try before you buy. So I don't know what fans want, because what I do know is we're kind of where we were at the end of last year. I just mean from like a fans are not, they're not enthused. They understand that there's been improvement. There's improvement on defense. There is help on the way on the recruiting front, but that doesn't make them truly enthused. And I just want to hear where people are. So 267-9680, text away to the UPS Jobs text line. Because on Ennis's show on the post game, there was a remarkable difference between the text line and the phone calls. I mean, the phone calls were seemingly mostly positive. The text line was a mess. I saw it later. I mean, it was just, you know, we suck. Get rid of this guy. I don't care if he's 7-5. I don't care about these recruits.
Well, the text line and Twitter are, I think, similar things. When people call in,
sometimes
I think, you know, the callers are were a little bit more rational, I think, you know, than the text line. It sounded like
some of them sounded like,
and a lot of people were just like, "Look, we made improvement. We've got a lot of help on the way." I do think recruiting's helping that a lot.
Yeah,
and they've got to win in the transfer portal, because what's going to happen is you're going to bleed out, you know, 6 or 7 guys that you really don't want, and you're going to lose 4 or 5 guys that you do want.
Yeah.
And so what you've got to do is you've got to go find a Lole, a Momo. You've got to find an MJ Griffin, a Tyler Hudson. You know, you got to find those guys to make up for what you're going to bleed out. So as long as you're, like, net gaining in the transfer portal, then you're fine. Because you're going to lose guys you don't want.
Who we got on two, James? I'll just go right to that because one's not ready. Austin. Let's go to Austin up next. Austin, welcome in. Ninth Round of the Ville, ESPN 680.
What about it, fellas? What about it? Just wanted to make a comment. What I saw in that Kentucky game, it didn't surprise me none, but I thought we kind of went early as far as trying to pass the ball. I thought the running game was working. I mean, I knew we couldn't go up the middle on them, but the running game was working. And I thought we should have probably stayed with it. No mean we're going to win the game, but I'm just saying it was working. Sometimes your best strategy is, just stayed with what you came in with. If it was working, why change it? You know, so that's the way I looked at it.
Yeah, I mean, and you just can't turn the ball over. I mean, you just can't turn, you know.
Well, we knew that Cunningham never, you know, we can't put it all on him, but he was hurt. He never has had a good game against Kentucky, but I felt like we made our move a little bit too early as far as trying to pass the ball. Just do what was working. And I know our momentum wasn't what it should have been, because I know we was going to get worn down a little bit, because Kentucky's so much bigger than we are. That line is huge. And so we got to do some recruiting, fellas. Have a good one.
Appreciate it. Thanks a bunch. But of course, if you run it too much, then everybody's like, why are you just, you know, running the ball?
No, I mean, you know, Jawhar Jordan ran it a ton of times. I mean, how many times can – he's not the C-Rod type of back where you can just give it to him like 40 times in a game.
And you only got two backs.
And we got
total.
Two of them. So, I mean, I you know, in the end, you got to throw the ball. You know, and the first possession, you punt, okay. You know, it's not a big deal. Now, you can't have a bust of a play like we did in the secondary, letting the tight end get wide out, you know, like that, and then miss the tackle and let him go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a busted play.
Yeah.
It's a busted play. And as much as we've praised the defense, that big play burned Louisville when they've lost games this year. And that was one of those big plays that, you know, he gave up 26 points. I don't expect him to be perfect. But that big play gave Kentucky the advantage early. And when, you know, and they had touchdown, field goal after you got them off the field and a 3-and-out to start the game. So, you know, really that touchdown put Louisville in a big hole.
All right, who we got on one, James? We can Shaq. Let's go to Shaq. We got two lines open at 267-9680. Shaq, welcome in. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Just a quick aside, Drew, talking about the tennis courts at UK, flashbacks. Only one time I met you is I was working Fifth Third, and I met you and your camera girl, Pam, who they're my friend, so just flashbacks.
There was a camera girl named Pam. Yeah, okay. All right, I do remember that. Oh, at the Fifth Third Tennis Championships. Okay.
Yeah, because I worked at Fifth Third, and, you know, we sponsored it, and, you know.
Okay.
Pam was like 6'5", wear a bun is and Timberland boots. But anyway, she dated my friend who was also 6'4". Just about the game, and Satterfield. So I'm basically in. Of course, I'm more of an optimist fan in general. But I was after the Boston College game with Satterfield, I was like, he's probably more on the outs. But since then, I really think extension, small, a conservative. As much as it could be that standing by him, because I think the main issue we've seen marketed improvement by with the defense, which was a big this is never improving. That doesn't even extend before Satterfield, going back to Strong, and then the offensive side, which he has shown that he is capable of being, you know, of orchestrating a good offense. The main thing is. But an injured quarterback most of the season who is obviously didn't develop the way we like. Main thing is getting somebody in. So we think we got somebody in. The season, and Mark touched on it, and I thought receiving wise, we didn't have the deep threat. Same team we got now, you don't have the transfer portal's gonna go, and obviously keep losing running back. So just taking the team as we had constructed. The main thing we missed was really a deep threat. If you had a consistent deep threat, then Hudson been more open. And like Mark said, it went that further. And we had a quarterback who wasn't either injured or whatever. So I'm positive. I mean, basically they just need to replenish and get some of the spots seem like we're pretty good, but you still need backups there. And some of the spots are losing people with the class coming in and what we have. I'm fairly positive, but that's the thing. Deep threat, consistent quarterback. And we can start off slow with a slow playbook. If we have the right people by midseason, as long as the defense keeps developing, we should be good. So that's what I'm thinking. Only thing is, I'll just caveat, getting up for the first – the motion aspect of it, how we get up for the first game of the season, regardless of opponent, and this last game, begin strong, finish strong. For whatever reason, emotionally, I know Satterfield likes to play under control, which is good from a coaching standpoint, but we need somebody. Like Coach Charlie Strong had the guys, get on the train – somebody in that locker room needs to get the players up and staying up because emotionally it seems like there's lockdowns. But thanks, guys.
Yeah, and I don't know that it's not that they don't get up for the Kentucky game, but it just looks like Kentucky gets up for it more.
They do. But we weren't up for the Syracuse game, to his point. Start the year and really the Ole Miss game 2 years back, even the 2020 game when they played Western Kentucky here at home to open up the season, it was kind of flat. When we were able to win that game, mm-hmm. We really haven't opened a season strong under Satterfield since the Notre Dame game. We lost that game. You know, I mean, if you think about it, he's 1-3 in openers, and really the one that he won was kind of flat. Now on the deep burner threat.
Now you've also had Notre Dame and Ole Miss be two of those. I mean, it's not you can't just say it's not good in openers because of the record, because they looked good against Notre Dame.
They were fired up against Notre Dame.
Now, yeah.
But we just haven't seen that in the next three.
Yeah.
You know, we just haven't seen that level of preparedness and fight and energy since the Notre Dame game.
Yeah.
But on the big threat thing, you know, you lost Harrell. You lost Watkins. Those were big play, deep threat guys. And they thought they were going to get Devon Mortimer in here. Well, I think they were going to put in that spot, but he couldn't get admitted because of his off-the-field stuff that he had this summer. Mm-hmm. And so I thought they'd put Turner at receiver, Maurice Turner, because mm-hmm. he is super fast, and we had a lot of running backs. But they kept him at running back, and they ended up needing him. Thank God they didn't change it. But, they did not have that deep threat. There is news on basketball. The ESPN announces today that the Big Ten and ACC Challenge will end after 23 years, and it will be replaced by a ACC-SEC Challenge for men and women starting the week after Thanksgiving in 2023. So this will be the last year for ACC Big Ten Challenge. Rights agreement obviously is changing.
Fine. I mean, it's a it's a good non-conference opponent either way.
Could that put Louisville, Kentucky in the week after Thanksgiving?
That's a great question. That's a great question. I wonder if they would do that, or if they would leave true rivalry games alone. I know Clemson and South Carolina don't give a damn. they're like, yeah, sure, play us wherever you want.
Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech.
That's a good question. Man, that would be a lot. I hope not, but I also don't like these games on New Year's Eve. So
I hate it on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Absolutely hate it.
Yeah, but that's an ESPN deal, and CBS holds, well,
not anymore.
Not anymore, you're right.
This is the last year for that too.
Yeah.
And so it could be, I don't know. I mean, or do you want Louisville versus Alabama?
Well, yeah, I mean,
and then you get Louisville, Kentucky down the line because they're going to play no matter what.
Yeah. I don't know. That's interesting. A couple of notes from the game too. By the way, unless now, if there is a reason, I've checked his Twitter feed, and there's nothing obvious there. Is there a reason the governor can't be there to present the governor's cup? Is this the lieutenant governor's cup?
He's always been there before.
I mean, I heard him say, Lieutenant Governor Jacqueline Coleman is here to present the game-winning. I mean,
Governor was at the NC State Louisville game here.
Shouldn't the governor be at the governor's cup? Now, did I miss something? I heard over the PA. I heard him say, "Here's Jacqueline Coleman, lieutenant." It's not the lieutenant governor's cup. It's the governor's cup. What's he got going on?
I don't know. And he virtually gave out the trophy one year because of COVID, the Derby trophy. But he's been at other governor's cups. And he was at Louisville NC State.
It's called the Governor's Cup.
Right. If it's not going to be the
Don't go to Louisville NC State.
If the governor can't show up for the Governor's Cup, we can call it the Bourbon Barrel.
Now, what's he got going on? Now, again, if there's some... I saw he visited Dawson Springs yesterday, so that wasn't Sunday. You know, it's not like he's driving like me. He's got a helicopter, you know.
He's got police escort.
People driving him.
You never
know. And he doesn't park in the mythical yellow lot.
Maybe he's got some Ford
initiative. If the governor's not there for the Governor's Cup... Then why are we calling it the governor's?
Call it the Bourbon Bowl. Let's do it. Bourbon Bowl.
I'm all for it. I'm just going to get Mitch Barnhart. It's a stupid name anyway.
I don't like having, whether you like the governor or don't like the governor, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But like the deal is, I don't like having a political
tie
to a sports trophy. Yeah. I don't like it. I just don't like it.
Right.
I just don't like
it. Because
half
the people in the crowd, even on the winning side, aren't going to like it.
Exactly. So to me, just eliminate that. And it's a great, and if the governor can present the Bourbon Bowl, I don't care, but I don't like it being the governor's cup. I don't like it at all.
But the name's always been silly, but I don't know. You know, the governor's cup, it weighs like 110 pounds.
Oh, it's heavy.
I think it was in the Louisville notes, all the info about, you know, how wide and how, you know, what it's made of. Yeah. And
now, the heaviest rivalry trophy is the Montana State one.
Really? How much does that weigh?
Well, they were talking about it's like it takes like four or five dudes to carry.
Yeah.
It's like carrying a casket because it's huge. Not only is it heavy, it's also sort of, big around. Like, you know, you got to get your arms around it.
I don't know. But like when you see players holding up the Governor's Cup, it's 110 pounds.
Oh, yeah. And then they were saying that the Sugar Bowl trophy is also very heavy. And Mike Lindsey picked that up. But you can talk to him on Friday about this. Because when Charlie Strong picked it up and like lifted it over his head, Mike Lindsey's like, I don't know how he did that. because Mike Lindsey picked it up in the locker room. I don't know if you know that.
No.
Mike Lindsey held the Sugar Bowl trophy.
Throw his back out. The Governor's Cup, created in 1994. The Kroger Cup, donated by the Kroger Company at a cost of $23,000. It's 33 inches tall, weighs 110 pounds. The trophy base and upright columns are hand milled black marble. The glass components are optic grade crystal. The metal parts are 23 karat gold plated brass. It's made of pewter, with 23 karat gold plated finish. It was designed by Kendall Costner and sculpted by James Corcoran. I don't know. But one thing that is worth noting, Kroger, has also donated toward academic pursuits $10,000 to each school every year the game is played. So those donations are $500,000, $250,000 to each school they've donated. So
great.
So they have, and I'm sure they wouldn't mind renaming it something else. You know, the Kroger's Governor Cup, if you want to say it's the
Bourbon Bowl. The Kroger Wine and Spirits Bourbon Bowl. There we go.
It's a little mouthy. Yeah.
I mean, that's the one thing.
Everything you ever wanted to know about the Governor's Cup.
There's really not a lot of places where Kentucky and Louisville fans can find common ground. We can find common ground over some bourbon.
Yeah.
So make it the Bourbon Bowl. I'll just put that out there. I know it'll be really tough for Mitch Barnhart to agree to that. But, you know, I think Josh Hurd would agree right away.
Texter says, can't call the Bourbon Bowl if you can't even buy beer at one of the game sites. Texter says, keep Satterfield, save our money for Kenny Payne's buyout. Texter says, MAGA Diener showing his colors. No, it's whoever is the sitting governor. Whoever is the sitting governor should present the governor's cup.
Right.
It doesn't say the Republican candidate or the Democratic candidate.
Look, I've said this before. Andy Beshear was our governor. I'll say it when he's not the governor. Until they change it.
If Bevin wasn't there, I'd have ripped him too.
The only one that makes sense is the Commander-in-Chief trophy between Army and Navy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that makes sense, you know, because it's two military. That's the only one. That's the only one. Beyond that, I don't want any political thing happening with sports. Keep it separate.
I think whoever is the governor's cup should present the governor's cup. That seems like a... And again, unless there's something else going on, but as far as I can tell, I don't see anything. Hey, guys, I'm in Satterfield's Corner, but not without expectations for the upcoming years. I think a three-year agreement with tiered expectations each and every year is the way to go. If he doesn't meet those expectations, the school can terminate him without penalty. Good luck writing that into a contract. I know that may not fly with him. And look, you can forget the, oh, we'll extend him with no buyout. That's just live in the real world, you know. Stoops got $8.6 million. I don't know how, and they don't know how up there either. They had a fan I ran into that was like, this was a good idea. But, no, that's probably what you have to do. You probably have to extend him X number of years without there being a substantial buyout.
You give him a four-year deal? Do you give him a raise?
Gosh, that's tough, too. Is it raise-worthy?
Given the market of what's happening.
Yeah, you don't want to be cheap, you know, and you don't want...
I don't want to shortchange him. But also, earn it, please. You know, like, that's kind of part of it for me, too. And coaching searches, like, right now, it's really interesting. Pete Thamel just reported that Georgia Tech thing's not finished with Willie Fritz. So that's really interesting. Yeah. And then also, Dennis Dodds reporting right now that Auburn's administration's getting pushback on Hugh Freeze.
I bet.
And that they don't have a plan C. That now, John Cohen is not one of them. He's generally able to just get things done. Does what he wants to do.
Yeah, now that's different with if he's getting pushback from the university rather than boosters. I mean, because that's what everybody was doing.
And I don't know where the pushback's coming from.
I'm just surprised, though, if you're going to talk to Hugh Freeze, you got to talk to get a feel for the room going, hey, you know, we got to hire a dude that's got some stuff.
I think they're just still in their feelings that Lane Kiffin said no.
Maybe. I mean, and, you know. Question becomes for Jeff Brom. I mean, let's say he wins this week, and he's probably not. I mean, haven't seen a spread on that game.
I haven't, but I'm sure it's out.
But he's in the Big Ten title game. Somebody's going to talk to him. Would Auburn be a good fit for him?
You know, Jeff was about
15 and a half point.
Jeff was about to get the Tennessee job.
Yeah.
But the whole revolt with, which is the same thing that's happening at Auburn right now, the revolt happened with Phil Fulmer.
Shiano.
Yeah. And then Fulmer lost his job.
Right.
And so then that just totally wiped the slate clean.
Yeah, well, the revolt was over Shiano, and that's how Fulmer got the job.
And then Fulmer got fired.
Right.
Right? Because of that. And so then they hired their AD, who then hired Heupel. So, but like, if that doesn't happen, like, Jeff Brom might be coaching Tennessee right now.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. And yeah, there's probably a job out there that he would fit for. I mean, if they beat Michigan, they're in Rose Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, after next Monday, I mean, there are going to be all sorts of, you know, people, jobs all coming open. I mean, this last
15 and a half is the spot.
Yeah. Yeah. Lincoln Riley, you know, last year, you know, goes to USC right after the, you know, Big 12 title game. And he's going to be the playoff again.
And
Caleb Williams. I saw Caleb Williams win the Heisman Trophy on Saturday. Yeah. I did see that. He won the Heisman Trophy.
And that's how quickly your fortunes can change in college football. Mm-hmm. You talk about USC. They were kind of like 6-6, 7-5. They got Lincoln. And then, I mean, TCU.
And a QB.
Yeah, and a QB. But TCU, they get rid of Gary Patterson. Everyone's like, what? What are you doing? Are you crazy? They get Sonny Dykes, and now they're in the playoff if they win on Saturday. Like, they're playing Max Duggan, who is their second string quarterback. I mean, they've had him all year. So, you know, no, your fortunes can change really quickly in college football if you make the right choice.
All right, Huffman Auto Group, that's where I bought two straight cars from Acura at Oxmoor. The Blanket Bakers have two cars from the Huffman Auto Group as well. My mom does as well. So, look, if you're in the market to buy a car, the Huffman Auto Group is where to go. They are getting more and more new inventory in over there at the Huffman Auto Group. But you really... You want to speak for it in advance, because when it gets there, they don't last long. We were talking with Arthur Glitzky over there, and guy saw a car he liked, had been waiting on, and the wife really liked it. Guy wanted to go play Top Golf, while he went and played Top Golf, someone else came in and bought it. So
Top Golf got him.
Top Golf got him. Exactly right. Lights are bright, and they're stealing cards out from underneath people. So get over there to Huffman Auto Group, find out. You know, get those. But when you have a chance, pounce. You know, don't delay. But check him out over there at Accurate Oxmoor. You're going to see Arthur Galitsky, the general manager. You're going to run there. You see Mike Stack. You're going to see all the great people in service. And it's the Huffman Auto Group. And when you get over there, tell me who's talking about him here on the Diener Show.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to the Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
And we are back here, 93.9 The Ville, ESPN 680. We will have the broadcast of tomorrow night's game between Louisville and Maryland for you, 5:30 pregame, 7 o'clock with the play-by-play here as well. We have open lines, so this is your chance if you want to get in, want to hear from you, which, you know, this is, post-game show is instant reaction. Sunday morning hangover is a somewhat instant reaction, somewhat thought about it overnight. You get to Monday, where have you put it all together? Where are you on the game, the team, the coach, all the above? I could read a million texts because, believe me, it's not for lack of interest. The text line just continues to churn and churn.
Yeah.
But anyway, I do want to hear, people's voices on this.
One of the things I've gotten on Twitter and my mentions was, like, when was the last time Louisville football was ever ranked nationally?
Last week.
And the guy was saying, they've made progress. Let's keep the progress going. Mm-hmm. I think the problem is progress has been slow. And Shane Beamer, South Carolina, he just beat Clemson. He just got his new deal.
Yeah.
He got his new deal. He beat Clemson. And, that's what you do. You go beat your rival, and they give you a new deal.
Yeah.
They beat Tennessee and Clemson in the last couple weeks.
Nobody has had a better month than them.
But
that's what you do.
It's like you go and you're like, okay, boom. Now he hit the portal, got Spencer Rattler.
Mm-hmm.
And Spencer Rattler looks like a different quarterback month of November.
He absolutely does.
So
absolutely. So it helps when you have that, when you can just trot him along from Oklahoma. Oklahoma's like watching Caleb Williams win the Heisman and Rattler do what he's doing.
It's resurrected Rattler's career.
Yeah.
Rattler was not an NFL prospect going into this year. Everybody thought he was dead in the water. He got stripped of his Dr. Pepper stuff.
Stripped of his Dr. Pepper stuff.
Fansville was Rattler-less.
Kicked out of Fansville. He got kicked out of Fansville.
He got evicted.
Dixon Satterfield's an average coach. Next year will be an average coach. Attendance will be average. He has a 50% approval rating. Things will be better if he's either well-liked or absolutely hated. Dexter says, with the challenges canceled, is the new ACC starting next year, every year now, UK, Duke, or NC every year? No, you don't play every team in the league. It's just a one-game thing.
Yeah, everybody gets one game, and they try to match them up. So we've played Michigan or Michigan State. This year we have Maryland.
It'll be a good matchup. Let's go to Tino up next. We got one line open. If you want to get in, 267-9680. Tino, welcome in.
Fellas, It looks like the same old to me. Like, I don't think he's extending. Like, can you let him play out next year without extending him? That's the only thing I would do. But
you could, Tino, but like, the problem is, Tino, is if, let's say, he wins 9 games, he's gone.
Then we could talk contract if he wants to stay here.
Yeah, but think about it.
There are ways to extend him without putting yourself in a precarious situation financially, too.
Right.
There's ways you could say it could be a 2-year extension, but the buyout is the same or not much more than it is now. Don't know if you'd go for that, but yeah.
Well, you'll be able to. Well, I don't know. I was gonna say you would be able to, like, by the end of it, by before the season's over, you could give him a new contract next year if we see that things are going well. But this is, it's been 4 years of the same thing, man. And I don't know what other people saw, but against Kentucky, man, I think Stoops, I think he kind of took his foot off the gas a little bit. Like, you know what I mean?
I don't know.
Rodriguez could have had 200 yards if he wanted.
Well, I don't think that's true, Tino. He had 24 carries for 120. How many more carries you want him to get?
30. You give that guy.
He had five. He was averaging five a carry.
I mean,
okay. But listen, okay. I'm gonna give you an example. So, when T. Huddy scored at the end of the game, okay, we kicked it off to him. Rodriguez was getting at least 8 yards a carry all the way down the field. Then he took him out and put McClain in and ran him three times, and they punted. You can a couple right before the half when they punted, he was doing the same thing. Like he was carrying people. And we had them third and long, and then they cut it to the fourth and eight, and then they try to draw us offside. If they would have gave Rodriguez the ball, man, you can't. I mean, dude, he would have.
But I think the way that Louisville hadn't been moving the ball, I mean, I think you punt the ball there because you know Louisville hadn't proved they could.
It's the third most carry. Third most carry C-Rod had all year.
Rodriguez either. They hadn't proved that they could stop him. I don't know. Maybe I just seen it different, man. But it looked like the same old to me against Kentucky. They looked like. I think they could have ran the ball and moved it up and down the field like any time they wanted it. Like it just didn't look. Y'all really think the score looked?
I don't think the score was indicative of the game. What did not feel at all like a 13-point game. Louisville was in. They were in it for 2 minutes. The end of the first half, the start of the second, and that was to me the only time you felt like that they were in the game. It did not feel like a 13-point game at all. We saw it. We know them. It was not like that.
Kentucky to me looked like the way better team, and that's the problem.
Well, they beat us by two scores. I mean, they were better.
Well, I'm talking about it. It looked like, I mean, not quite as bad as last year, but there's no point in the game where I thought we was going to win the game or had a chance to win the game.
Yeah.
Like that's just my opinion. But anyway, and if that's what you want to, I don't see it getting better either because we ain't got nobody to replace Yasir Abdullah and Yaya Diaby for next year. Our best two players. Keetra Clark's probably going to be gone. He's our best cover guy.
Well, I mean the whole world's going to flip with transfer portal. I mean, right now, try to predict the roster next year is something no one can do. You just can't. We, Tino, I appreciate it.
Papa Williams
is
going to have to grow up.
Let's go to let's see. We lost Butch. That's DD. That's what I go by.
Okay.
Welcome in, DD.
Hey. Good morning, fellas.
Morning.
I just want to say that I was so disappointed Saturday, and I want some killer instinct. It just seems like it's not there. Once in a while, a game will show a little, but overall, the whole season, I want a coach with some real killer instinct, especially the last game of the season.
And what does that mean to you when you say a real killer, other than winning the game?
Intensity. Mm-hmm. Intensity. Being up for the game.
Yeah, I mean,
it just seems like it's not.
They've definitely like I think they're up for the game, but I just think it looks like Kentucky wants it more than they do. Whether
that's the season this year, though, I was like, really, when they come out so flat, sometimes they just do. It just doesn't seem like it's a consistent intensity to me.
Yeah, I mean, the two games this year you really want back: Syracuse and Boston College. Those are the two you look at and go.
Definitely.
But I really wonder still, had they won those two games and still lost to Kentucky, would the vibe be the same if they were
a baby?
You know, 8-4, 9-3.
They weren't even in the game Saturday.
Yeah,
really.
Well,
that also
was a tough part.
You know, defensively, I would like to see the defense that played the last 6-7 games of the year play against Florida State.
Yeah,
because that's a game where we had offense. You know, D. Wiggins was in that game. Defense shows up for that one, maybe that's a little different. And then beating Florida State means a lot more than beating Boston College. We all agree
on that.
Absolutely,
yeah.
You know, so that changes how everybody feels.
Yeah, definitely. But I knew coming into this last game, if they didn't at least make a game of it, that it wasn't a good sign. And I just don't feel like they did.
Yeah.
They haven't the whole time Satterfield's been here. And I don't know. It just seems like there's intensity missing to me.
Well, it's when you lose, I think we analyze all these things. We analyze body language. We analyze, you know, the way they look out there. If you win it, you're calm, cool, collected, and you're, you know, cerebral about it. But if you lose it, then it all comes down to the result. But it just felt like, again, they were in the game for a total of a minute and a half. Whatever, however much time is left at the end of the first half when they scored.
Not a lot.
And one play into the second half. And that's, I mean,
if they kicked the field goal on the second possession, scored there, and then had something different, maybe the tenor of the game feels different for us. But because they you know, didn't get the points, missed it on turnover on downs inside the red zone. And Louisville was awful inside the red zone getting touchdowns this year, like 1/13th, like less than 50% touchdown rate. Really bad inside the
red
zone.
Really weird because, you know, they feel like they have a running game and Malik ought to be good down there.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, you know, I know the stats. What I would say, let's go to Alex up next. Alex, welcome in. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? I actually came into the game thinking that we were actually going to win. And as I was watching the game, I was saying to the people I was watching it with, you know, I feel like Louisville has a chance to win it this year because we're running the ball so much easier than where we were in previous seasons. But I'll be honest, man, I was upset because at the end of the game, I just think this is just his mentality, and this is why I just don't like him as a coach. At the end of the game, I was listening to the post game, and they asked him a question, and he said, "Yeah, well, I'm just really happy that it wasn't like it was, you know, that it's better than what it was. We're showing improvement." It's almost like you're saying, "I'm just glad they didn't kick our ass. I'm happy that we didn't get beat by 50. That's all I really care about." And it's like, bro, like, are you? Like, that's really what made me mad. It's that attitude that he has about almost about every time we lose. It's that attitude of, well, you know, that big wide receiver out there, you know, we can't guard a 6'6". Well, why can't you? Like, it's just every single time there's a loss, there's always this, like, mentality of, well, you know, it just happened and there's nothing we could do about it. Like, no. Like, I hate that. I when he said that, it's like, that's why I don't like you. Like, I try my best, but that's why I don't like you. Because of that mentality of saying, well, you know, at least we didn't get our ass kicked like last year. Maybe we'll come back and see. We made some improvement. Bro, you didn't even score. Like, you scored a touchdown at the end of the game in trash minutes. Like, get out. Like, it just, that's what frustrates me. That's why I really don't care what happens to him. If they give him a 3-year extension and he goes on and wins 8 games, if Louisville is okay with being, you know, mediocre with 7 wins and stuff like that, then fine, whatever. I love the team. I'll watch it. But it's like I'm trapped in this in this mundane, like, fandom world where I just have to, because I'm in love with this team, I don't love another team. I can't move on from it. So I just have to sit here and watch. And it's so annoying and it's frustrating. Like, that's what made me mad about the game. But
look, I think I think the only thing I would disagree, I think people like Satterfield personally. You know, that's why he's like I don't like the guy.
He's a great guy.
But I think that frustration of, I like this, my team, but I can't get excited about him is the tough part here. This is where having this game last. Man, really, it changes a lot. I mean, everybody hated Stoops until Saturday, you know, and then they're like, all right.
They're like, why did he get an extension? Why is he getting that much money?
I think they're still wondering that.
Yeah.
You know, that much money. But that sort of purgatory of blah, they're not bad enough where you go, oh, they suck.
Yeah.
But they're also not good enough where you go, I'm excited. Now, if Pierce Clarkson comes in, and let's say he's a guy who can play, and you know what? You lose some games, but you see, man, we got something here with this guy. And Ruben Owens, we got something here with this guy. I think people will be more excited about a 6-6 season if there's a bunch of freshmen making an impact, sure, and you've got other help on the way, and it seems like recruiting is going the way that you want it to.
Football. Yeah, 2011 Louisville football. I mean, we saw Teddy Bridgewater. He was a killer.
Yeah.
You know, you got Devontae Parker out there, who was a killer in a defense that was out there. You're like, yes. Here's a quote from Pierce Clarkson after Friday's game. I'll read it to you directly.
Okay.
Even if I died out there, I wasn't going to lose. I was going to die instead. Like, this is a guy who's, like, putting it on the line.
I like that.
And they're going to play
for the
state championship on not on December 10th, because they got a week off after the SIF final, which is the sectional of the private school. They go to the open division to play for the whole kit and caboodle on Saturday, or on Saturday night up there in.
What is kit and caboodle anyway? I mean, everybody's
kit and caboodle.
Yeah, where does that come from?
The kit and caboodle.
I mean, that's one of those phrases. It means the entire amount of things. The word kit in the phrase, the whole kit and caboodle, is a reference to a soldier's kit, which is a collection of supplies and personal items that a soldier carries with him.
Yeah, so the whole kit and caboodle.
The whole kit and caboodle. Yeah. The word caboodle is an alteration of the word boodle. Boodle appears in the United States in the 1830s to mean a crowd of people, later evolving to mean a large amount of ill-gotten money.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
Well, ill-gotten.
Ill-gotten. An older... I don't need pop-up ads here. What do you do?
If you get a little caboodle. Like
an older rendering
stuff.
Of the phrase is the whole kit and caboodle. The Oxford Dictionary lists the proper spelling as yada yada. So, yeah.
That's if I could get some boodle, I would use it on NIL.
Yeah. Scan the code on your screen. That's what I couldn't get over. If I tells me Kentucky didn't embrace NIL, their scoreboard the whole game was like, yeah, give money to NIL.
It's relatively new for them, which is
okay,
great. Yeah.
But it's more than I've seen it at any stadium. I guess I've only seen three stadiums, but here, Clemson, and there. I have not seen that much promotion of give the players money.
Yeah.
And last when you're beating your rival, good time to keep putting it up there.
Yeah, last week Clemson had a whole social media campaign with their athletic director about getting people to donate to NIL.
Again,
so.
Social media is one thing. The people that are there
in the stadium, yeah,
that is a captive audience.
Different deal.
Yeah, it's not. That's not 60,000 randos. That's people that are behind your team, man.
No doubt.
Well,
thank you for the vocabulary.
There you go. Yeah,
today.
Kit and caboodle. we use phrases all the time, and I'm like, what do I even mean by that?
Yeah, we got to uncover all.
Let's go to Glenn up next. We want to know Wednesday here on the V Show. Glenn, welcome in. Good morning.
Morning, gentlemen. Hey, so I'm glad to finally hear a couple fans calling in upset and not ready to say, okay, we'll just keep Satterfield or give him an extension. And I'm not 100% against giving him another year, but I think you have to make that phone call to the man up the road. Everyone knows who I'm talking about. You know, before this season, I think to a man, all of us said 8 wins minimum this year for him to keep his job. And, yes, there were things to get excited about during the season. The defense got a little bit better. We had a winning streak. But look at the end result. We're at 7 wins again, and look who we beat. We beat no one. And so you got to make that call. If you can get them, you pull the trigger. If you don't, then maybe you give them another year and see what happens. Tell me what to be excited about for next season, other than a couple recruits who you and I both know 50% of those guys may turn out to be what they're supposed to be. 50% won't, and you're at least 2 years away from seeing that.
A couple of things. You know, guy up the road's – look, he's not here until the – if the job's open, he'd come. That side. I think it's a different conversation. I think you've got to decide if you feel like, you know, the tough decision – I think the tougher decision is to keep him. The easy decision is to say, you know what, we got to sell some tickets, we got to generate some excitement, and whoever a new coach would be generally gins up excitement. The tough decision is to take the heat, to see progress on the recruiting trail, to if it comes to fruition, and to say, I'm going to stick with him because I see things that not the average fan doesn't see. Now, I have no idea where Josh Hurd's mentality is on this, but I think the easy thing, if you want to just sell more tickets for next year, is to get a new coach. The tough part is, if you're the AD, I can fire a coach who just won 7 games and beat more teams with 7+ wins than anybody in the country or something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can say they didn't beat anybody, but the numbers don't actually...
4 wins against 8 wins.
The numbers don't back that up. They're not sexy teams for the most part. I mean, but Central Florida is their best win, right?
Yeah, and they're playing for the American Athletic Conference.
I mean, they're ranked.
Pittsburgh, NC State, 8-win team. I mean, you know, they lost to Syracuse. I mean, there are some good teams out there that they beat. I mean, Wake Forest collapsed after Louisville beat them.
I know. Yeah.
They're number 10 in the country, and it was a great moment.
Schedule was ranked 40th. But the numbers, throw the numbers aside, it's – You the feel of it is blah.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you fired the coach.
I tend to think that Josh Hurd's going to retain Scott Satterfield and probably have to do something on the contract side. Now, what does that look like? Do you go, oh, you got 2 years left in the year, we're going to give you an extra year and more money?
Mm-hmm.
But also in these clauses, you get extra years if you can win 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe we're not going to mess with the buyout too much because we're not really sure about each other.
We'll go over the top here just briefly. Kathy's going to be up next. Kathy, welcome in. I3 in the Ville, ESPN 680.
Okay, I think I have a solution. Okay, I think that what we ought to do is go to West Lafayette, Indiana, and get Brian Brohm in here to develop a quarterback. He needs to get his own identity, and I think he would be a great offensive mind. I think what Josh Hurd needs to do is sit down with Scott and say, hey, look, you've done a pretty good job, but you've struck out on the quarterback market, and you've got to get a quarterback in here that can help us. And if that means we have to go the junior college route, that's what we have to do. But I think we need to go to West Lafayette and get Brian Brohm in here and get him to try to develop a quarterback and an offense. The offense is where we're lacking, I believe. But that's just my opinion. If we get a new coach, you've got to start completely all over again. And that's the bad part. We know what a debacle this basketball season's going to be, and I don't think the fans can take another debacle as far as the football season goes. But if you got a new coach, who would you get? Do you think Jeff Brohm's ready to come back here? We don't know that, and he's playing in the Big Ten championship game, and to me, that's quite an honor. So I'll let you answer my questions on the air, and I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Kathy, I appreciate it. I got to say, all the respect, all the scenarios, a member of the Brohm family coming here not named Jeff to be an assistant is not going to happen. It's just, he's not leaving there. It's not going to put, you know, you're
Brian
not going
to
put him here.
Probably break away from Jeff at some point.
Yeah, and probably does.
And you kind of, you know, spread his wings.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be at Louisville while Satterfield's here.
Yeah.
It's just not.
Yeah.
That's tough, but you know it is interesting. Like Jeff is in a spot where mm-hmm. it's being the Purdue football coach while they're having success. Is probably like being like you ever play that game King of the Mountain?
No.
Where like you go, we're like your kids, and somebody goes on top of a hill, and you know, and everybody tries to be the kid on top of it. It's really tough to stay on top while you're at Purdue.
He's getting out. I think he's getting out. Yeah. To go to the title game. At Purdue, right. Again, look at the record before he got there. I don't want to turn this into a Jeff Brohm resume. You can go look at what, you know, I always like looking at places, what they were before a guy got there, what they're like after.
But there's not really a job out there right now that I would be like, that makes sense.
Well, Auburn, I don't know.
Yeah.
Look, there's going to be a lot more openings. There's going to be, after the championship games, there's going to be openings. Hell, Brian Kelly left, you know,
sure.
Notre Dame, and they're in the middle of a possibility of making the playoff last
year. And Lincoln Riley stunned everybody when he left Oklahoma.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Just happened to wake up and go to USC. No conversations are being had prior to that. Just woke up over coffee. Oh, look, there's an L.A. area code. You know what? That's a good idea. I'll see you out there in L.A. I'll hop a flight.
$11 million, no problem.
The plane's already here? Oh, how'd you know? So there's deals in place already that we don't know about.
Right.
You know, and that's what you can't predict.
But
all right.
Sat's not hiring a Brohm, but like I do think – I think Herb's going to extend him. I just don't know how much
he's
money.
The offensive guy, though. You can't say we're going to bring in an offensive guy. It's his offense.
Well, prior to this year, the offense was pretty good. It slipped by like 50 yards a game. Third down was way down. Your red zone offense was not good. So, he stuck his head in the defensive room. What happened on offense?
Stick your head back in the offense.
Stick your head back in the offensive room. Leave Brian Brohm alone.
Oh, man. All right. We will continue along. RGB, red, green, blue. Love listening to Red Zone on a crappy day like yesterday with the RGB all around me. So the witching hour delivered as it always does.
It was
great.
Ripped my heart out on the Ravens, though.
Yeah, well, it happens. And again, watching Andor on the Disney Plus app, it's amazing. It's red, green. We knew the base wasn't on the other night because a TIE fighter flew across. I'm like, wait a minute, that didn't sound. So we rewound it. It was unplugged. And yeah.
All right. Oh.
That's what it's supposed to sound like when a TIE fighter goes across your head. And that's what it feels like when you have that great sound. Red, green, blue, RGB, RGBHomeTheaters.com. Come out. Kyle will talk to you. I was texting Kyle last night. This remote, this the stupid Spectrum app is really what it comes down to. I'm just get a better app. Get a better app. Than the Spectrum app. It's RGB, red, green, blue, RGB, HomeTheaters.com.
tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit suedistracteddriver.com.